the book of Revelations. It's an exciting chapter. It ought to get you going this morning. Revelations, let me go ahead and read the fourth chapter. I'm only going to be able to talk about the first verse today. That's the plan, if we even get through it. But we'll finish up that chapter next week, Lord willing. Chapter 4, the book of Revelations, reads like this. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardonyx stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were four and twenty seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Let's pray. Father, once again, we are grateful to be able to come to your house. We are thankful, Lord, today that we are able to read your word, that you have made your word understandable, that you have put your spirit upon us to expound the word, and you've opened the eyes of our heart to receive from your word. Bless now this church as we hear your word and listen to what it has to say concerning us. In Christ's name, amen. Revelations is the first and foremost, is first and foremost a revelation of Jesus Christ. The book depicts him as the risen, glorified Son of God, as the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and a ruler over the kings of the earth. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is and who was and is to come, the Almighty, the first and the last, and the Son of Man. He is the one who was dead but now is alive forevermore, the Son of God, the holy and true, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb in heaven who has the authority to open the title deed to the earth. He is the Lamb on the throne, the Messiah who will reign forever and ever, and the Word of God. He is the majestic King of kings and the Lord of lords, and will return to conquer his foes. Christ is the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Today we're going to begin talking about what I believe is a picture of the rapture. And I want to show you something before we begin.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month. Or he might come next week. or he could even come back.
I know some of you have seen that before, but it's powerful. And honestly, it's real. It's going to take place similar to that. You may not be at church, but you may be just sitting at your desk at work, driving down the road in your car, mowing your grass. You might be in the midst of an argument with your spouse. You may be at the jail bailing out a child. You're going to be about doing just what you always do every day of your life. And then suddenly, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it'll be rapture time. So we must remain ready. We must remain ready. Verse 1 of Revelation's, the 4th chapter. John says, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up here. Come up hither. John was heard the Lord, and after he'd heard concerning the church, he looked and he saw an open door towards heaven. Jesus spoke to him in a voice that sounded like the sound of a trumpet. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is going to step out one day, and I'll read that after a while. With the voice of a trumpet, he's going to sound out. The trumpet will sound. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. One of these days, the church will be raptured. I'll go into a few more details as we go on. John was told by Jesus that he would show him a few things that must take place after this. Now, Revelations is not just about the rapture. It's about what's going to take place after the rapture. From verses 6, or chapter 6 through chapter 18, you don't hear any more reference about the church. Why would that be? In my opinion, it's because the church is in heaven rejoicing around the throne. And so John here has been commanded to be, and has been temporarily transported into heaven in his spirit. He's not there yet. He's there now, by the way. But he wasn't there yet. He was still on the Isle of Patmos, and he was there receiving the revelation of Jesus Christ. He was to receive the revelation of future things, the things that must take place after this. May I stop and suggest to you that Galatians says to be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. It's easy to become weary in serving Christ. It becomes weary in the wait. You become a little bit challenged in staying ready. It's difficult sometimes because life continues to be life, and it continues to go on, and there's problems, and there's situations, and there's sorrow, and there's, you know, just all the things that life brings. And so sometimes it's difficult to stay just really encouraged in the Lord and thinking about the fact that in this life, if Paul said, if in this life only I had hope, I would be above all men most miserable. Paul knew that there was a life after life. He knew there was a life after this life, and this was a temporary life, and Peter called it a vapor. So it's very temporary. You need to understand that. And so I believe at this point in Revelations, we have just witnessed the church being catapulted or raptured, caught away, snatched out of this earth. That's a picture of that there. many do believe at this point in Revelation that Christ has already taken the faithful, overcoming believers out of his churches and taken them out of the world. Many believe that this begins right here to speak of the rapture of the church. I still believe in the rapture of the church. I still believe that what happened we've witnessed on that video a few moments ago will take place one day very soon. We used to sing a song back in the 60s. I remember a young man named Kenny Kerbo, and I believe this is a song. Now, he would sing a song called "The King is Coming." And he would say, "The King is coming." And we'd also sing a song back in the 70s and the 80s, "Soon and very soon we are going to see the King." And we would sing it with vigor. We would sing it with rejoicing because we believed that soon and very soon we were going to see the King. And I believe, church, that if we're not careful, we will lose a focus and we'll lose sight of the fact that in this life is it's a very short life, but soon and very soon we're going to see the King. I believe there's people here sitting on these pews today that will see the rapture of the church. I believe, young people, I believe most of you, unless some tragedy befalls you or your family, you definitely will see the rapture of the church. You'll see the coming of the Son of Man in the clouds of glory. You'll hear him one day cry out, "Come up hither." Yeah, he's coming again, church. He's coming again. So the rapture of the church is going to take place. Many believe that, and then they speak exactly what I'm speaking today. I don't believe in a post-trib, mid-trib rapture of the church. I believe in a pre-trib. In other words, before the tribulation period begins, the church is going home. And we'll be in the presence of the Lord forever and forever and forever. John states that after what? After the completion of the history of the churches. We just got through the last several 7 weeks, and it took a little longer than that because we had visitors and different things, but we went through about the seven churches of Asia. We preached on each one of them, their flaws and their commendations and the good they do and the bad they did, and we talked about each of them, the cold church, the dead church, all this different things, and John says that is completed now. The church age is completed. After the church age is completed, then Christ comes for the church. John sees a door opened into heaven. He hears a trumpet-like voice loudly and victoriously crying, "Come up hither." If this is where the rapture takes place, it means that multitudes from all kindred, tongues, people, and denominations will meet the Savior face to face. There won't be any division in heaven. There'll be no sections for the Church of Christ, the Methodists, the Pentecostals, the Charismatics, the Blacks, the Whites, the Asians. It don't matter. Everybody will be in heaven and everybody will be rejoicing. There will be perfect unity when we get to heaven, and no one will look down on anyone else. Amen. John 14, the third of chapter 14, verse 3 says this, and it's a promise from our Savior Jesus Christ. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, for that where you are, that where I am, there you may be also." A promise from our Savior. As certain as Jesus went up to heaven, so he will return from his Father's presence and take his followers to a place he has prepared for them. Some versions calls it rooms. I really don't care. I don't care whether it's a room or not. It's going to be decked out better than a Trump Tower. Anything Donald Trump or anybody else could do, there's multi-million dollar apartments in New York City. It's going to be better than any of them. It's good. More than anything, it could just be a bare dirt floor and a stool in the middle of it to sit on. But if I'm in the presence of my Savior Jesus Christ, it won't matter whether they're streets of gold or they're paved with asphalt. As long as I'm in heaven in his presence, it won't make me any difference. I may not have air conditioning or heat and cooling in the winter, but it won't make no difference because I'm in the presence of my Lord. Amen. But I tell you, church, heaven's going to be a good place. A good place. And Jesus said he would receive us unto himself. In chapter 14, verse 3 of John, I will receive you unto myself. And it refers, I believe, to the rapture of all living believers and all dead believers. They're gone on by the grave. I believe they're already there, but they'll come back and they'll be in their glorified bodies. Amen. They're going to come back. 18 years ago today, church, my daddy went to heaven. 18 years ago today, early in the morning, about 3 o'clock or so in the morning, he went to be with the Lord. And he's in heaven today. And one of these days, I believe he's going to be welcoming me into heaven. And there again, he may be so busy with other folks, he may not. I'll get to Dennis eventually. Well, we're going to have 10,000 years. And we'll just barely begin. Gonna be in his presence forever. It won't matter. But I'm gonna go back and see my daddy. I miss my dad today. You know, it's kind of one of them days. And my wife lost her parents, and you've lost parents, and you've lost loved ones. You all know what we're talking about today. And you remember those dates as if it was yesterday too, don't you? Just like it was yesterday. It's funny how you can remember dates. And everybody, I used to wonder. My father-in-law would call us up every the anniversary date of his mama's death and his daddy's death. He called my wife and said, "Well, Ainie, you know what today is?" Every year he'd do that till recently he just caught where he forgot, I think, but his mind wasn't there. And I think, how in the world does he remember that year after year after year? Well, and now I know. Figured it out. It's just something that's marked indelibly into your mind. But I'm going to tell you, church, the Lord's coming again. Look at 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. And there's a lot I could preach right there, but I don't be able to go to all of it. But I'm going to touch on some of these things. In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, and let me start at 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. What did the Bible say over in Revelations? A voice of a trumpet, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. I believe it's a picture of the rapture of the church in chapter 4, verse 1 of the book of Revelation, where the John said his voice was as the sound of a trumpet. And the Bible here says, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So it goes on to say, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I want to go to verse 2 of chapter 5, and then it says this, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And it goes on to say, and there was something I wanted to read there, but I don't see where it's at now. And the day of the Lord, but that's what I know. The day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. We are going to be delivered from the wrath to come. And chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians and verse 10. It also reads along these lines, and it says this. That's where I wanted to go. And tells the church there, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Some people think we're going to go through all these things, but he says here, he's going to deliver us from the wrath to come. And one of these days, that refers to the future wrath and judgment of God that John's going to tell us about in the book of Revelations, starting in chapter 6 through chapters 18. However, we don't need to fear as believers today, because God is sending Jesus back to receive us unto himself and deliver us from that wrath to come. And clearly, the return of Jesus Christ, for his faithful, precedes this coming wrath upon the church. I read it to you already more than once. And so I believe the rapture is imminent. I believe that it could happen at any moment. I believe that even today, and I tell you this all the time, and I've preached it over and over and over again, but I believe he could come on a moment just like that happened a while ago, just like today, just a few of us here in church, and all of a sudden, boom, we're out of here, and Jesus has come for his church. Obviously, the Bible says in Luke 14, verse 14, it says, for thou shalt be recompensed or rewarded at the resurrection of the just. 1 Peter 5 and 4 says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, I got to back up. I'm at the end of my sermon. I'm not ready to close yet. There's just so much good stuff here, I think. Good stuff. But I believe that this scripture is referring to the rapture or the snatching away for the following reasons. Beginning with chapter 4, verse 1, the terms church or churches disappear from the book of Revelation until chapter 22, verse 16. The bride of Christ or the church appears in chapter 19, but they're already with Christ in heaven before he returns to earth to judge the wicked and reign in the millennial reign. The promise given to the Philadelphian church to keep it from the hour of worldwide trial pertains to all believers who stand true to Christ before the tribulation. Those three reasons. There's another. This glorious and eternal reunion is a doctrine of comfort for all the followers of Jesus who desire ever to be with the Lord. I wouldn't be real happy being a Christian today if I thought at the end of my journey Jesus was going to send this wrath upon the earth and he was going to punish me just like he punished the sinner. He's not going to, church. He's not going to punish the believers, those who have put their faith in Christ and been living for him all their lives to the best of their ability. He's not going to put them through the same turmoil, the same wrath and judgment that he's going to put upon the sinner world. Can I make another statement today that I say, everyone, if I was you and I wasn't saved, I would get saved. I would get saved. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 and 18 at the end of this is comfort one another with these words. And we need to comfort ourselves with the fact that Jesus is coming again. There's an old song. It goes like this. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And he takes me by the hand and leads me in or through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. We don't sing those songs much anymore. We have the new praise worship songs and they leave out things about the resurrection. Oftentimes if we're not careful, they'll leave out things about the blood of Jesus. But I want to tell you, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And without the shedding of the blood, the Bible says there's no remission of sin. And without shedding of blood, there is no salvation. And without salvation, there's no rapture for you. And without salvation, you can experience and expect to experience the wrath of God that will come upon this earth one day soon. What's going on now is not the wrath of God. There's tribulation coming. Immediately following the rapture of the church, the inhabitants of planet Earth will experience 7 years of incomparable judgment. 7 years. The Bible calls the first 3.5 tribulation, and it calls the second 3.5 years great tribulation. One portion we'll read later on in our study, we'll find that John is told, shut the book, shut it up, don't even write down what you saw, it's too terrible. We don't even get a full picture of what God's going to do to this earth because of their rejection of his son Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I don't care how good you are, how goody two-shoes you are, how well you pay your bills, how moral you are. It doesn't matter one bit, one iota. If you have not been born again, your good works will not save you, and you'll still experience the same wrath of God as the very most vile rapist. The most vile person you could think of, you'll still experience the same wrath of God. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to encourage you, church, stay right with God. At the end of this judgment period, the door of heaven will be opened in order that the believer may exit heaven with Christ for a trip from heaven back to earth. We're coming back with him one day to rule and reign for 1,000 years. It's called the millennial reign. This will be a time when Christ will reveal himself to all humanity. Everybody will see him. That's when the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Everybody will bow one day. Maybe you're wondering, what will the church be on earth during the tribulation hour? Absolutely not. I think I've already explained that to you more than once this morning. But absolutely not. The church is, like I said, is mentioned 16 times in the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, but it's not found in chapters 6 through 18, the tribulation period. You won't find a word about the church. Why is that again? Because the church is in heaven with Jesus receiving their crown. Isn't that exciting? Don't that make all this worthwhile? It's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it one day. There's an old song I like, and I'm going to quote another part of it right now. And I've got another one later. It says, I just took a look at the back of the book, and I know how the story ends. In any way you slice it, Center, my advice is, any way you slice it, you have to be a Christian to win. You must be a Christian today if you're going to win. Some would say that chapter 4, verse 1 has nothing to do with the rapture, with the church, only John. However, chapter 4, verse 10 states, and now let me read, the 24 elders fall down before him that sit on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. Come on now. They cast them there. When will believers be crowned? When are we going to be crowned? The 24 elders represent the church. They have their crowns. When are they crowned? We're not crowned yet. We're crowned at the rapture. We are crowned when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ after the rapture. He will judge all of us for our works. It means we'll still be in heaven. We're going to some go to greater rewards than others. We'll receive a crown, however. And those crowns, after that, they'll be recompensed. They'll receive a crown at the resurrection of the just. Peter said, and that's where I was going a while ago, for chapter 5, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You don't receive it till Jesus appears in the clouds of glory and receives us up. Then you receive your crown. Obviously, the judgment seat is where the crowns are distributed. That's where we're crowned, at the judgment seat. So we will then take those crowns and place them at the feet of Jesus. We're already in His presence, or we couldn't do that. We're in His presence. And the only way that we could have got there is in verse 1 where He says, come up hither. In other words, we used to practice it at our old church. And I told you the story a few weeks ago. Somebody would be planted in the crowd, and we would never know who. And some moment during some church service, all of a sudden, we'd be sitting there, might be during the preaching, might be during the singing, might be during the testimony service, what some part of the service. Usually, they'd be kind of quiet, and all of a sudden, somebody would go, rapture time! And everybody would jump up as fast as they could. But it's too late! Because some of them were still laying there. Not laying there, sitting there. Some of them would fall out. Like, oh my God, what was that? I told you I'd get your attention. I'm watching you. Guess what, church? Jesus is watching. He's paying attention. He's making note of who's His and who's not. He's better than Santa Claus at it. You don't have to check His twice. If your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, He knows it. He don't have to recheck it. But the only way you're going to get there is when Christ, if you're a Christian, and Christ says, come up hither. Rapture time. We must remember that John, the representative of all God's people, is shown the things which must be hereafter and things that will happen both in heaven and on earth. Chapters 4 and 5, what takes place in heaven is what takes place in heaven, while chapters 6 through 18 picture things on the earth, the tribulation. You don't need to worry about, we're going to go through it so you'll know, we're going to touch on it the next few weeks so you'll know what's going to happen. the best I can explain it. But as a church, you don't have to fear it. We just got through, and we're finishing up today talking about you, church, until we get over further in the book. Another old song, and of course y'all know I love the Henson family, and it says, "Call me gone, I'll be leaving. Call me gone, you'll be grieving if you're left here without Jesus to call on. Call me gone, no more heartache. Call me gone, and all it takes is for me to hear him call me. Call me gone." Another one goes like this. "Heaven's a glorious place. I'm saved by amazing grace. I'm just about to win this race. It's heaven and it's mine. Castles here are crumbling down. Men's hearts failing all around. But there's a place that won't be found. It's heaven and it's mine." That's how you ought to feel today. And there's thousands of songs about heaven. That's just three I thought of as I was preparing the sermon. It's come to my mind. Songs has always blessed me. Always blessed me to hear those songs. But church, we're approaching rapture time. We're approaching the end of the age. It's probably they have the atomic time clock, or they talk about the time clock of history and how it's down to, I guess, less than a minute now. Even the world recognizes that we're in bad shape. I understand last night, more likely than not, North Korea fired off a hydrogen bomb, a tested one, underground over there. We're in the end of the age. Wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in different places, famines, pestilence, men's hearts failing them for fear, family turning against each other. We're in critical time of history. But the church can comfort themselves with these words. Jesus is coming soon. And Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonians, and I'm going to read it again to you as I close. "Preacher, you didn't preach till 12 today. No need to. The message has been preached. Said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those that are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the..." Listen to this. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord." I'm not making this up. Jesus spoke to me. "That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Jesus is coming, church. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Would you stand?